Hello, my name is Matt Hodep. I'm the producer of Statehouse Blend, and I will be conducting introductions for this special elections episode. So, introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, I'm Peggy Lowe. I'm an investigative editor with KCUR and Harvest Public Media.
I'm Amy Jeffries. I'm the Kansas elections editor.
I'm Sam Zeff. I'm host of Statehouse Blend, Kansas.
And I'm Brian Ellison. I'm host of Statehouse Blend, Missouri.
It's a joint Kansas and Missouri election special. Roll the open.
This is Statehouse Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. All right, welcome everybody to the production studio at KCUR 89.3. Today we are wrapping up the elections, not so much with the results of the elections themselves, which we assume you know by now, but we're mostly stepping back to look at the bigger picture. What do we take away from all that happened on Tuesday night, and what does it mean for where Kansas and Missouri go next? So Sam and I are both hosts of this show, which means we have no real host of this conversation. It's just a conversation.
Let's see where it goes.
But I did think it might be interesting to start with some of the biggest winners and losers from this election cycle and from election night on both sides of the state line, Kansas and Missouri. Sam, who are the big winners and losers?
Well, I think the big winner in Kansas, I think there's a group of them. I think it's moderates and Democrats who are going to their numbers are going to increase greatly in the legislature. If I had to pick one winner, I'm going to go with Ron Reichman, who is the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, who I think is probably the leading candidate now to be Speaker. He is conservative by politics, but I also think that he's somebody who can move to the middle. So I think that he benefits from this. If I had to pick one loser, I'd have to say it's Governor Sam Brownback. He's looking at a very different Kansas legislature when the session convenes in January. He's lost a lot of allies. A lot of things are going to change that he pushed very hard for in the last 4 to 6 years. So I think that he is really the big loser on the Kansas side in the election.
Although there is some chatter that he may have a new job.
Is chatter about that.
Right, and maybe even chatter about Kris Kobach having a new job as well. Could be a lot of changes in Kansas, right?
Could indeed.
Right. And if Sam Brownback does, and he's talked about being the new agriculture secretary, that would elevate Jeff Collier, the lieutenant governor, to the governor's chair. He is a plastic surgeon from Johnson County, served in the legislature. You don't hear much about him. He has worked on some health care issues, specifically blocking the way for Medicaid expansion in Kansas. But if Brownback goes, that's who becomes governor.
We talked a lot in Harvest Public Media ag nerd forums about who's going to be the next.
Can I join the ag nerd forums, or do I have
it
to be an
ag nerd? It is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will learn a lot about farm country and GMOs and a lot of stuff like that.
Wow. Okay.
But in the politics of agriculture, Sam Brownback is being spoken of as a potential for Secretary of Agriculture. That said, there are a host of governors and former governors in the Midwest that are being considered on this. Also, there are some agribusinessmen and some huge political Republican donors, too, that are being considered for Ag Secretary. But the going joke in farm country right now is, and has been even before the election, was if Donald Trump was elected, you know, who knows? He has said a host of things. He's anti-climate change. He's anti-trade. He's, you know, they just have no idea. So I guess the big joke was, well, maybe he'll appoint that guy from Green Acres to, you know, to be the ag secretary, the county agent, Hank Kimball. So, I mean, they really, truly have no idea where he'll go on that. But Brownback is the one that is on the short list, apparently, at this time.
Yeah. And that is, by the way, Brian, I believe, our first Green Acres reference.
It is. And I think there's
State House Blend.
That could be a candidate for the closing song, too. That's a timeless theme song. All right. How about on the Missouri side? Peggy, who do you see are the winners and losers?
I have to say that I think one of the biggest winners on Tuesday was Roy Blunt. He was all set to lose his job of 20 years going into Tuesday. He ran a very odd campaign. It was rather uncomfortable for him out on the stump. He, of course, had to deal with the Trump issue. And this is back when we thought Trump was unpopular and he was making all these gaffes. And each and every time, Roy Blunt would say, I am not going to answer for Mr. Trump. That said, he had endorsed him, and as a good Republican soldier, he kept that endorsement up. Mm-hmm. He did not align himself with Trump until the very last minute. It was Monday evening before Election Day, and he put out a mass email saying, look, Trump put out this tweet endorsing me, and then he was really selling it. And a lot of people have suggested that just a few points between Blunt and Kander are thanks to a Trump win in Missouri.
A Trump win by nearly 20 points in Missouri.
Exactly.
Yeah, far more than anyone expected. The big winners are Republicans. The big losers are Democrats. But one of the winners in particular I would want to highlight is David Humphreys, the Joplin businessman who made incredibly large donations to Eric Greitens' campaign, to Josh Hawley's campaign for attorney general, who actually the few Republicans who lost their seats in the primaries in the General Assembly races were those who were opposed by David Humphreys, who supported their opponents. Few people had as much of an impact. He had more of an impact on this election than Rex Sinkfield, equally Republican, but across the state rival business person.
And just to keep in mind, Rex Sinkfield backed in a big way Catherine Hanaway,
right,
in the primary for governor. She didn't come anywhere close. Greitens really ran away with it.
That's exactly right. And Sinkfield kind of dropped out of the this year's election cycle after that. So I think David Humphreys is a big winner. His big issue, of course, has been labor. And if we had to name a big loser in Missouri elections, it's probably organized labor, which now with the supermajorities in the General Assembly and Eric Greitens in the governor's office, not only will right to work probably pass in fairly short order, who knows what other sorts of regulatory issues may follow. So I think there will be some pretty big changes, and labor is going to be one of the big losers. So let's talk about Kansas. What should we be expecting from because of what happened on election night?
I think you're going to, first of all, I mean, the first big thing is going to be the leadership reorientation. So before the legislature convenes in January, they're going to pick new leadership. And with so many incumbents having lost, mostly in the primaries, but again, a handful of important folks did lose on Tuesday night. You know, you're going to have different leadership, and that's going to change the direction on certain policy areas. It'll be interesting to see who goes after what. Sam was mentioning Ron Reichman pursuing the speakership. We've also talked recently to Russ Jennings about his interest in that position as a more moderate Republican. So that'll be an interesting contest. And I think you're then going to look at who are going to take chairmanships.
Who wins that contest?
Well, that's...
Yeah, there's one other candidate in there, Gene Vickery, who is from Lewisburg and the current House Majority Leader. So in a three-way race, they're going to run. The person who gets the fewest votes drops out. I think both Reichman and Russ Jennings are attractive candidates. Jennings being more moderate, but I think that Reichman is the kind of guy who can move to the center if he has to. I would say that as we look towards other leadership positions, whether that's a majority leader or perhaps chairman, chair of a big committee, I think we're looking at Melissa Rooker from Johnson County as a winner. She was a player near the end of the session. She's popular. She's now a veteran legislator. I would look for her in a pretty high-profile position as well.
And she's a regular guest on State House Blend.
Friend of State House Blend, no doubt.
Yes. Yeah, and I wonder if you get a scenario where, Reichman has the majority support for a speaker, that he and Ross get together and have a conversation about what important chairmanship you know, Reichman might throw his way, right? Reichman is currently the Ways and Means chairman. Does Russ become the Ways and Means chairman if Reichman is speaker? I don't know. I'm just, these are complete ideas I'm just spitfiring on right now. But, you know, that's a thought. And I think if you look in the Senate, you had a situation where Susan Weigel has been reelected and to her Senate seat and is likely to be Senate president again. The person who is going to be probably her biggest competition for that, Terry Bruce, fell in the primaries, and the guy who replaced him got the third highest percentage of votes of any senator who was being elected on Tuesday. I would think, look for Ed Berger to have a role. He's a former community college president. I would imagine he would end up on the education committee in the Senate. John Dahl, who also did very well, he is angling to perhaps be the chair of that committee in the Senate.
Here's some of the things that, some of the thoughts I was having election night. I was at the Uptown Theater in Kansas City. It's where Jason Kander had his, what was going to be a party, but became a quite depressing evening for all the Democrats that had gathered there. It was like their helium balloons just slowly and decidedly lost all their air. And Kander came out at about 12:15, and he only had a 4-minute concession speech. But what he said was he was very concerned that the many millennials and the many young people that were there that night and that had started following him, that they couldn't give up. He said, you must stay in the system, no matter if you lost or not. You must keep working for what you believe is right. I really noticed out on the stump that Kander had ignited the young kids and had really tapped into this idea that, I mean, he spoke well for his generation. He said he wanted to be the first millennial in the Senate. And he said, we don't have a lot of ideology in our generation, this new generation, this large generation. But he said, we are very idealistic. And I'm going to be really interested to see if that carries on into the future.
Yeah, I'm interested in what happens with Jason Kander. I mean, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but like, where does he go next? His political prospects in Missouri as a pretty liberal Democrat really don't seem very strong right now.
He's out of a job. He absolutely is. So it'll be very interesting to see what he does next. I think, too, we've been talking about winners here. And among the losers, I think, will be like the people that will be busiest in the next few years. People like the environmentalists, the ACLU, labor, women. Will the spark that Clinton started carry on with women? Will what Jason Kander started with millennials keep going? I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch if Trump actually gets any immigration reform done. When in farm country, in Kansas and Missouri, it's the immigrants who do all that work, whether those are dairies in Kansas, whether those are, you know, the Tyson meat factories in Missouri. Those are immigrants doing those jobs. So good luck on immigration reform, President Trump.
Right. And I have a feeling that that's one of those places where even though both Kansas and Missouri have a fairly solidly red profile now, there's room for a range of perspectives and possibly some division even within Republican leadership. The division's well documented in the Kansas conversations between moderates and conservatives. But I think in Missouri now, with a second session of supermajority rule and now with a Republican governor, I think at some point we're going to start seeing some divisions emerge. We saw them a little bit around labor issues in the last session where there were enough Republican votes to sustain vetoes by Governor Nixon. But I think immigration reform is potentially one of those areas on the Missouri side. And I think it'll be interesting around things like religious freedom. If there were any sort of attempt to pass another version of SJR 39,
is that the bathroom bill?
The bathroom bill, the religious freedom, religious shield law, that's the words I was looking for, which was defeated essentially in a committee when enough Republicans joined with Democrats to defeat it. This time around, I don't know that that changes in the new General Assembly. I don't know that that bill gets to the governor's desk in this General Assembly either, because I think there's enough of a pro-business Republican contingent that feels more strongly about business-oriented decisions than they do about religious freedom issues.
Mm-hmm. Just to pick up on a couple of things that Peggy mentioned that may also be of interest in Kansas, I do think that there may be some interesting movement on environmental issues in Kansas for two reasons. One, the Wind Power Coalition was a big backer of moderate candidates, moderate Republicans, in the general election. You saw quite a number of postcards with their brand on it. They spent a lot of money on those guys. And the other is that Kansas did, by a large margin, pass a constitutional amendment for the right to hunt and fish. And within that is a stated preference for hunting and fishing as a wildlife management tool. So that may have some implications for conservation and land management in Kansas going forward and things that might be able to pass through the legislature without court challenge in Kansas.
Are there other policy things that you think we should be looking for in either state? We've talked a little bit about the politics, but what substantively might emerge out of the next legislative session, next year or two?
Well, in Topeka, you're going to have two big things which are going to be difficult to tackle. Whether they're going to be able to wrestle these bears to the ground, I really have some question about that. First is tax policy. I think that there's going to be a pretty successful run to close the LLC loophole. That's not going to raise enough money to make up for the deficit that they have there now. So I think that you'll have moderates and Democrats come together to do that. If you're going to raise the marginal rate on the income tax, I believe that's where those moderates and those Democrats may split. That's going to be difficult. And then the other thing is a school funding formula. The block grant scheme, which we have now, sunsets this year, so they have to write a new formula. What's going to be in that formula? I think a lot of people agree that they have to go back somewhat to the previous formula where they take in special education needs, transportation needs, those sorts of things. But conservatives are going to be fighting tooth and nail for what they're referring to as outcome-based issues, so that districts are either penalized, more probably incentivized by increasing, say, graduation rates or maybe ACT scores. Moderates, educators will argue that puts districts like Kansas City, Kansas, Wichita, Topeka at a disadvantage because there's more poverty there. So you've got those two really big issues. And I also think as sort of a sub-issue, I think we're going to have a run at getting rid of campus, conceal, and carry. I think we may see that. I think we may see that early. And at the very least, I think we're going to get a delay in the implementation of that, which is now July 1st of 2017.
On the Missouri side, I think as Democrats and moderate Republicans are on the rise in Kansas, I think in Missouri, you're going to see momentum in very much the opposite direction. And so legislation that was sort of being kept alive and bandied about year after year when there still were some hopes of Democratic headway in the General Assembly probably just go away this time around. Medicaid expansion in Missouri is dead on arrival.
It's dead everywhere.
Right. Well, and of course, if the Affordable Care Act is repealed in the next few months, that would change that as well. But it's not only that. I think there have been efforts to put various protections against employment discrimination in Missouri, and some of those have been supported by some Republicans. But I think that's dead. I think there's no chance that comes up in this next General Assembly. Campaign contribution limits is an interesting one. Amendment 2 did pass. There is now a framework for limiting some individual contributions to campaigns in Missouri, but Amendment 2 almost certainly will face a legal challenge almost immediately. And even with Amendment 2, even if it stays on the books, money can still go through committees and through other means in such a way that it would require additional legislation for there really to be meaningful limits on campaign contributions. And I think anything approaching meaningful legislation on that in Missouri is also dead in the coming session. So a lot of things we've been talking about on State House Blend Missouri for the last couple of years, I don't think will be really subjects of conversation in 2017. Anything else that we think it's important to talk about the future for Kansas or for Missouri coming out of these elections?
Well, you know, we talked about this election night, and you wrote about it, Brian, but I think the big takeaway, of course, and I still think about this, is that as everywhere else in the country, and Missouri especially, moved to the right, the state of Kansas has moved to the center. And I think that I think part of that is we in Kansas saw this movie, right? A complete Republican takeover. But with that came hubris. This notion that you did not have to deal with the other side, which is what good legislation, that's how good legislation comes, is that you bring in you bring in all the parties. And so if the Republicans in Missouri, led by Eric Greitens, who, by the way, if there's one thing you learn in the military, and especially in the SEALs, it's teamwork, right? So if he can avoid that hubris, surround himself, I think, with skilled operatives, and say, you know what, I'm opening up this, I really am going to open this up for everybody, not just Republicans, but Democrats. We're going to try to craft good legislation. They may be able to avoid what I think what happened in Kansas, and that was, you know what, we're sending you guys out the door because we don't like the way you're doing business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jason Kander, right. Peggy, you know, right. you and I talked a week ago about him being the rising star, and I think he probably still is one. I don't think his brand is completely damaged.
Absolutely not.
But like you said, he's also out of a job. He's going to have a hard time finding a place to show leadership in the next 2 years, at least.
That's
do you
right.
see him? Where do you think he goes next?
I think he's cooling his heels. You know, he said his only plan on Tuesday night was to the next day on Wednesday not wear a tie. That was like his only plan. So I think he's cooling his jets and he'll figure out his next thing. And knowing him, though, it'll be very strategic. It'll be done with the support of his very smart wife. And we'll see where it goes.
Well, and I think also he's, of course, you know, he's a young guy. He can bide his time. And I think that he's not going to have trouble finding a job as a lawyer where
sure.
he can make a lot of money over the next few years. And then I think step in and decide, is he going to run for Senate again? Is he going to run for governor? I mean, I think he's got a lot of time to see how this all settles out before he has to make that political decision. But in the meantime, I think he's going to make money.
I think the Democratic bench is pretty short after that. But I think on the Republican side, I think we're seeing a couple of interesting folks rise to prominence. And the person I think we need to keep an eye on is the new Attorney General elect, Josh Hawley. He actually received more votes across Missouri than Donald Trump did, more votes than Eric Greitens did. By a more than a 3-2 margin, he was elected Attorney General over a very qualified Teresa Hensley. Hawley is 36. His experience is primarily as a constitutional lawyer. He's argued, he's part of the Hobby Lobby case team that argued at the U.S. Supreme Court. In the campaign, I think probably anticipating a Clinton presidency, he talked a lot about using the Attorney General's office to challenge, federal regulations and federal overreach. That may be less of an occupier of his time under the Trump administration. So it'll be interesting to see how he uses the Attorney General's office and frankly, what office he starts aiming for next, because I think at 36, he's a man with a plan. All right. Well, this has been a good roundup of what's going on around Missouri and Kansas and what to expect coming out of this week's elections. All that's left is to summarize all this important news in the form of a song. Today, we will all make our suggestions for the song that captures this this moment in the electoral process, and producer Matt Hodapp will make his choice.
Hello. Who we heard at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes, and there he is again. So Matt Hodapp is going to choose from among our choices. Let's start with Peggy Lowe.
My first suggestion was going to be, You Say You Want a Revolution by the Beatles, which is an amazing song. But since it was so popular here when I brought it up, now I think I'm going to suggest a theme from a show about a New York City couple who moved to the country to a town called Hooterville, Green Acres.
That's strong. That's strong.
Strong.
That's the place to be, I understand.
Good one,
Sam. Thank you very much.
KCUR's Kansas Elections Editor, Amy Jeffries.
I'm going to go with Alanis Morissette. Ironic. both because she is Canadian and because that song is from the album Jagged Little Pill.
All right. I feel like there were layers and layers of subtext.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hodep is not revealing anything with his facial expression. He's not committed to these answers yet.
Cool and collected.
Right. I will let you apply that subtext however and wherever you like.
Sam Zeff.
Over the last couple of days, I've been actually watching this video a little bit on the YouTube. And that is, my song is The Wait, but I like the version from the last waltz.
Nice.
The Wait? I don't know this song.
From the band?
From the
band. The Last Waltz?
The Last Waltz.
Right. The concert film, that was their last concert.
Okay.
The Wait is the song, but I like the version with the Staple Singers. From,
is it the Take a Load Off, Annie?
That yeah, song? That's the yeah. one, Peggy, yeah, yeah. but please don't ruin
Thank
it
you.
For me.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
Actually,
so sorry.
We don't even have to
I
use the recording. We can just have Peggy.
I was trying to help your friends here who did not
Peggy
have
sing it.
In
okay,
mind.
Now I know the song you mean. Thank
See?
You, Peggy.
Thank you.
My suggestion, in light of the presidential race and the outcome, whether one... appreciates the outcome or not, the glass ceiling has not been broken, and so I'm going to propose Dancing on the Ceiling, since it's still intact, by Lionel Richie, which is always a winner of a song, I have to say.
I think I have Hodep's wow. heart and mind right now.
Yeah, you
but
know,
Lionel Richie.
I always wanted this power because I never agree with either of your and Sam's decisions, but it is a lot of pressure.
It is a lot
I now
of pressure.
Know how you
now
feel.
You know how we feel.
You know, I saw Lionel Richie at Bonnaroo. Couple years ago, and it was one of the best concerts I've seen in my life. So I'm gonna go with Dancing on the Ceiling.
Oh my gosh, it's the first time my song has ever been chosen.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is amazing. That's well, you know, there's your good news from election week,
it's
ladies
over
and gentlemen.
Between us, Hodep.
Sorry.
Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodep. If you're listening to this online or on NPR One, great, thanks. Now you should go subscribe. Look for Statehouse Blend Kansas and Statehouse Blend Missouri on iTunes or Google Play. We also are online at kcur.org/statehouseblend. If you use Twitter, that's a great way to keep up on the show. I'm at PTS Brian. Sam is at Sam Zeff. You can find, and Peggy, do you want to tell us your Twitter handle?
At Peggy Lowe, 2 L's.
All right, and Amy?
At Amy over here.
Amy over there.
No, here.
Amy over here. Sorry. You can find a shorter version of...
At Matt W. Hodep. Thank you.
Producer Matt Hodep, ladies and gentlemen. You can find a shorter version of us on the air on Tuesdays as part of Up to Date at 11 a.m. on KCUR with Sam Zeff, Amy Jeffries, and Peggy Lowe, and Matt Hodep. I'm Brian Ellison. Thanks for listening.